You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, September 28th, and this afternoon, Nick Sirianni spoke with the Philly media and is at the podium with a presser that's locked, loaded, and ready for you. I am your host, Rachel Prevett, and this podcast is brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Nick Sirianni was asked what's impressed him most about Jalen Hurts' development in the passing game. He was asked if Doug Peterson has an advantage by knowing a good amount of the players on the Eagles roster, having coached them in the past, and he also shared his thoughts on the Eagles continuing to let up in the second half. Take a listen.
Afternoon.
Hey, Nick, what has impressed you the most about...
Sharp today.
Yeah, got TV, so give me a good sound letter. What has impressed you most about Jalen Hurts' development in the passing game in particular?
Yeah, again, just the way he's kind of seeing the field right now. You know, he's identifying what's coming, and he's knowing where to go with the football. And then his accuracy has been really outstanding. So I think his numbers speak for itself as where we are at this point in the season, and he's been on it. So it's that development that you always want out of every quarterback, is to see it faster, to get the ball to the guys that the ball's supposed to go to and the coverage that they're playing, and that it's an accurate ball, and he's continued to improve on those things.
I asked Shane yesterday about, you know, Doug coming in here, Peterson being familiar with so many of these players and their tendencies and stuff. Do you consider that any sort of tactical advantage for him?
Well, I think that we're always talking about constantly improving. I think what we've seen here is, I don't know the exact number of guys that are still on the roster from when Doug was here, but Jalen to me is a completely different player than he was two years ago, and that speaks volumes to Jalen. Of course, but him knowing some, inside information on our players, of course, that's an advantage, just like it's an advantage when we find that stuff out too. And so, not anything that we have to, it's not like we're using the same words that they used here or anything like that, as far as, their defense having some tells at that goes. But of course, Doug's going to know those guys and, know intricacies about some of those guys, but a lot of them are different players and improved players from, just because they've gotten better each day.
Nick, we always talk about quarterbacks elevating the talent around them. You're a former receiver. How much can receivers elevate the quarterback?
I definitely think it's both. And I think it's that's why it's the greatest team game, right? And the quarterback can't be all he can be if the receiver's not all he can be, if the O-line's not all they can be, like all those different things. And that's been a constant message of what we've been talking about here, and I'm alluding to everybody, right, is the whole thing of I am because we are, right? And it's like the accolades the guys are getting, each week, Brandon Graham, getting the defensive player of the week this week, right? Like, that doesn't happen unless the cover, Brandon obviously had great individual play, but then the coverage was really good, right? And we won on first down to put him in a third down scenario, and so it's like, yes, the quarterback can elevate everybody, and so can a good offensive line can elevate everybody, a good receiver can elevate everybody, and so that's why it's just such an ultimate team game. And I think that's what's pretty special about this game.
It was difficult to accurately judge your tape after a win, specifically making sure you don't look at it through kind of rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I think that, man, I've you guys have heard me talk about Coach Karras plenty of times, Larry Karras at Mount Union, and there wasn't you came in there every Monday or and knowing that this is what needs to get corrected. You don't look at it with any color glasses. You look at it with the standard is what it is. And did we meet the standard or did we not meet the standard? And first that conversation first happens. And if you live that world, then it doesn't matter what the results were. You're just working on how you get better from that. And so that standard is not just us as coaches saying that to the players. That standard is also us as coaches holding ourselves to that standard first. You can't go through the grind of saying we're going to get better every single day and not hold yourself to that standard on offense as coaches first. And so they're everything. And again, we try to paint a very clear picture to the players, their job description. What's your job description on each and every individual look? And, you know, did we meet that job description as coaches and players? Yes, we praise. No, we correct it. And, you know, sometimes I think after a win, it's easier to really get after guys, right? And it's easier for you're able to do that. And that's what it really comes down to is, did you meet the standard? And if we did, we're high-fiving. We're going crazy, just as crazy as we're going when it's not met.
Last week you said that the sacks were going to come for Hassan. Told us that again, that they did come in the locker room. What was it about his film that made you think that they were going to come?
You know, obviously the film of him just even being here in the first place, of how good of a football player we know he is, lets me know that first of all. Secondly, right, we just saw how close he was, and you know, what was one thing I do know about defensive end play is that that as an offensive coach. Like, it can be very tempting at times to be like, he hasn't had a sack in 3 weeks. I'm not gonna help on him, right? And then boom, it's like an explosion. And that is a trap that offensive coaches fall into. And Frank Reich would always talk to me about that. He would talk to me about that. And I've told you guys before that we talked in the as far as you know, we're in the AFC West back in the day, when we were with the Chargers, every team had really good rushers, right? And then Frank would always talk to me about that with Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, right? When he was at Indy, it'd be like, all right, they didn't have a sack. Then, bam, they had like four sacks, right? And so that has always stuck with me too. And, you know, with the amount of good rushers that we have and then just seeing the way he was playing, I knew he was close. I knew, you know, obviously we knew he was a good player. We know he's a good player. We're out in the field with him every single day. And that's just sometimes that's the tendency of, you know, that happens in this league with good rushers.
Nick, it was kind of unusual you guys didn't get the running game going at all on Sunday. It's been rare around here the last couple of years. What did you see watching the film? What was happening there?
You know, again, they did a good job. I thought they did an outstanding job of doing some different things on the front that made it difficult. They have good players. And you go into each game with an idea of what you want to do, but that shifts and that changes. And so, you know, it was muddy a little bit, right? It was tough, and give them credit, give them credit. And we got to put our players in better positions to be able to do what we want to do in the run game. But, you know, that did open up some things in the pass game. And then the game kind of shifted there to what our emphasis was, you know, and that's a sign we're going in the right direction, that it can shift in the sense of, all right, they're stopping the run, go to the pass. All right, they're stopping the pass, go to the run. Okay, they're stopping this, go to, you know, whatever it might be. And so I thought that was just, you know, a good job by Shane and the offensive coaches of shifting the emphasis of what was working. And but as far as the run game, it was good credit to them, their defensive coaches, and their defensive playmakers.
Nick, what have you done and said this week about the second half scoring thing?
You know, like I said to you guys earlier, it was like we played pretty opposite of what we did in the game before, right? It felt like we took our foot off the gas a little bit, and in the Minnesota game, and that's me. That's nobody. That's not Shane. I'm not, you know, that's me. And then in the next game, it's sometimes it's a natural reaction to do the opposite of what you didn't think go, you know, went well the last game. And so we were super aggressive. So, you know, a wise man avoids all extremes. You don't want to be extreme in anything you do. You don't want to take your foot off completely off the gas. You don't want to go super aggressive to try to put the game away. You want to just continue to do what you did well, understanding that the defense is going to adjust. And so all the things that we've talked through all those things, we know we had to be better in the second half. And obviously that starts with coaching.
It's the nature of coaching changes that most new coaches take over for guys who lose, and they try to change everything and whatnot. It was a different situation here. How did you navigate that, especially with, you know, leftover or I should say holdover staff or players, people of that nature?
Sure. I mean, we went through our process with everything as far as, okay, let's go through the staff process. We knew how good I knew how good of a coach Stout was. And TJ Pagnetti and Roy, we knew how good of coaches they were, and we wanted to keep them on staff. And then as far as the players, again, it's the same process there, but knowing that, you know, knowing that Howie had a good feel of obviously of every player, right? You know, who was here, and we were just, that's just that communication of, you know, keeping the guys that you wanted to keep. And so a lot of good players obviously held over from the previous staff. And I guess I've said this plenty of times that, I wasn't like a first year head coach last year in the sense of what usually happens when a first year head coach is there is they're not great on the O-line D-line, because that's where you win football games. And I had quite the opposite scenario as a first year head coach. And a tribute to the players that we have at those positions, you know, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Isaac, you know, all the Jordan, all the defensive linemen too, with Fletch and Hargrave and BG and Derek and, you know, and Sweat. I mean, gosh, I mean, it's unbelievable how good of players they are at those positions, and how good Howie and his staff have built this team.
Frank has returned your text, I don't know, but what are you seeing like from Trevor Lawrence, you know, this year maybe as opposed to last year?
Yeah, you know, we didn't cross over with him as much last year, so I don't have as much studying on him as last year. You know, I don't have as much, you know, obviously we looked at some this year of last year, but, you know, you see a guy that, you know, was picked first in the draft for a reason, right? And he was the biggest talk, right, last year coming out of Clemson, and for good reason, right? He was a heck of a football player, had a great college career, and, you know, he's showing all those things now. I mean, he's a really good football player, and you saw some of that too, you know, at spurts last year, you know, and definitely stretches at the end of the year where he played really, really outstanding. And so, and then he's just building on that. And so this is a good football player and, you know, really talented, a lot of people say once in a lifetime, quarterback prospect. And so we see all the talent that he has, and we're going to have to be on it and make sure we get some stops on him.
We got time for one more question.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Just looking at the national narrative, right? You guys are 3-0, one of two undefeated teams. It's starting to blow up and it's starting to build. What is your message to the team, and how do you toe the line of having them play with confidence, as we see them do, and getting caught into the hype?
Sure, yeah. That's something when you're concerned about getting better every single day, it's and your sole focus is how do I get better? 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 It is easier to block out noise, whether that's people telling you how good you are or people telling you how bad you are. A clip that we showed today was of Tiger Woods and how when he was on the top, and this is what we showed in our team meeting today, when he was at the top of his game and playing as good a golf as anybody's ever played ever, right, he was still obsessed with getting better. And he says that, I'm obsessed with getting better. I'm obsessed with being, you know, the best. And you know, that's a guy that was playing the best golf of anybody ever. And what a great example for us, right? We can learn so many good things from what not to do and what to do. And today, you know, last week it was a Kobe Bryant film. And, you know, this week it was a Tiger Woods film of just how am I going to improve my swing today, you know, to make sure that I'm getting better, even though I'm playing pretty good right now. And that, and I want them to know that I'm doing that. Like, there's things that happened in that game that I was not comfortable with. There's things that I'm obsessed with getting better at. as the head coach to make sure that we're prepared to play and the different things. So first, we got to live that as coaches. We got to preach that, you know, through our word of mouth, and then other great people like Tiger Woods' word of mouth, and then we got to accomplish that.
PGN. Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.